96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours.
Good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Levin Miller, I'm unleashed on your radio here this morning. Thank you so much for joining me. I have no clue what you people do at 11 o'clock in the morning. But whatever you're doing, I appreciate you for being tuned in. Appreciate you for taking me with you wherever you are or are headed. Let's just get right out of the gate with it, all right? So there's a bunch of wrangling going on these days about the hoo-ha of when or where or how soon the Prime Minister, in his infinite wisdom, will call a general election. Well, for whatever it's worth, because he and his party have failed to keep their promise of a fixed election date. The only person that knows that is the Prime Minister. And so unless you have some sort of clairvoyancy or a glass ball or, you know, Miss Cleo's personal line at her prison cell, it is impossible for any of us to be able to say with any real level of certainty when the next general election will happen. Notwithstanding that, there's any number of things that are going on in the political arena. I decided not to have a guest today. Why? Because I spoke to you all day on Monday and all day on Tuesday, and I didn't get any phone calls in, so I want to make sure that I get as many of you in this morning. As we talk about the things that are going on in and around the candidate ratification process, as we talk about the things that are going on in and around the process surrounding the selection of candidates, we see that the FNM have found themselves in an imbroglio, that's what it's called, where incumbents and in some instances sitting members of the cabinet have uncertainty about whether or not they will be renominated. We see that the chairman of the Free National Movement is now saying that there will be a convention by December 2021. There's not been one in 4 years, even though the constitution of the Free National Movement suggests that they will have one every 2 years. Although in our politics, it is not unusual for political parties and their political leaders to shrug off these things for as long as they can. We know that there must be a replacement of the deputy leader since he's not going to go into the general election as a candidate, since he's already resigned as the deputy prime minister and has resigned as minister of finance, and since he's found himself in a debacle, I guess is what you could deem it as. I only imagine that shortly a resignation of his deputy leadership will either come or they will go to a convention, at which time he will possibly not offer himself anymore as the deputy leader. I see Mr. Desmond Bannister is being quite genteel in his response as to whether or not he will in fact contest the position of deputy leader. The way our politics is practiced in the Bahamas, it would only make sense if he's going to go into the next general election as deputy prime minister. So we'll see all of those things that are going on. And then, of course, we know that the Progressive Liberal Party is still having secret meetings where they're ratifying their candidates. I have been told in the wind, as the old people would say, that last night there were more ratifications for the Progressive Liberal Party. I understand that in Marathon they have selected a candidate. I also understand that there is some infighting going on there. The Win has also told me that there is a fraction of the Marathon candidates committee that have a candidate that they would prefer. Let me, for full and frank disclosure, say that I have said publicly and otherwise that I do not think that the person that I am learning has won the seat is a bad candidate. I think that that person is a pretty decent candidate. So that is for frank disclosure. Notwithstanding that, though, the question is, has the will of the people been done in Marathon? Has the leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party in any way tampered with the process down in Marathon? Do the people feel as though they've been shysted? Or do they feel that the person that they now have as their candidate is someone that everyone can galvanize around and be supportive of, right? Or is it going to happen the way that I anticipated, with this silly notion that you could have four and five people contend for one constituency and assume that somehow, right, humanness wouldn't become a difficulty for you in the end? What do I mean? I mean, when you allow people to compete in a sport like politics, because it is so gladiator-like, what you then find is that those people will destroy one another during the process. And when a winner emerges, typically people will not simply let that go away. And so then you will run into the possibility of what I have deemed internal cannibalism, right? And so I anticipate that there will be some bloodshed down there in Marathon. I don't know what the end result will be. I don't know if Mr. Davis has the wherewithal to go down there and smooth it out. I don't know what is the exact process of the Progressive Liberal Party and their council members or stalwart councillors or constituency branch leaders, etc. But whatever it is, I imagine that they're going to have to figure something out quickly, because the only way to win an election is to be a well-oiled, fine-tuned, smooth political piece of machinery. And let us not in any way try to discount what the Progressive Liberal Party is. The Progressive Liberal Party, to my mind, is possibly one of the smoothest, well-oiled pieces of machinery in politics in the Bahamas. But, of course, we've never seen that machine in the hands of this leader. Whether or not this leader has what it takes to keep that very powerful piece of machinery intact, whether he is crafty enough to stay at the helm and maintain composure and be able to tame the power that is the machinery that is the Progressive Liberal Party, we will see. I also understand that there is some rumbling going on in the Pines constituency where the wind told me, right, that Miles LaRota has been selected as its candidate, right? I heard that in the wind. And there is intended to be a contest for that in the Pinewood Gardens constituency. And so I imagine that you will see more infighting there. I imagine that you will possibly also see some internal cannibalism there. I imagine that those people that are on the short list, those people that thought that they should have been considered, those people that thought they should have been the forerunner or the standard bearer, will now go to the party's leadership and suggest to the party's leadership some sort of impropriety. And we will have to see what the party's leadership does. We know that Pinewood Gardens had been one of the most hotly contested seats. I don't even know why. Let me make this as a public pronouncement. As much as I would like to give to public service, national service, and the future development of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, let me tell you this. You will not ever see Levin Miller's name on a ballot in Pinewood Gardens. It is because I think those people have problems that one human cannot fix. And unless I was running as the leader of a party with the possibility of becoming prime minister, that's probably the only way I would consider a run in Pinewood Gardens. Because unless you are intentionally direct public finances, I don't really understand how you'd be able to fix the woes and the challenges the people of Pinewood Gardens in particular are faced with. And so, yeah, I couldn't really understand what was the race for Pinewood all about. But we know that Gerard Darvill, a son of Pinewood, contested. We also know that Miles LaRota, who I hadn't heard his name until the later days, I heard his name popped up. And of course, we know Randy Rowell, former Secretary General, I think it is, to Atlanta, has also contested that seat. And I understand that there may be some contention now. We will see how that plays out. So we know the Marathon has contention. We know that Pinewood Garden has contention. This is all according to the wind. And we also know that Golden Gates has had a little bit of contention. The wind has also... I get my information from the wind. The wind speaks to me. And according to the wind, I think Mr. Roberts, Obi Roberts, has found himself in problem in Golden Gates. I know that there are candidates in particular that come to my mind. He and Mr. Greg Burrows have contended for Golden Gates. For whatever the reason, I am advised that one would like to have Mr. Roberts represent them. I am also advised by the wind, of course, that there is another grouping of people that think that, you know, Mr. Burrows has just lent a little more to national development. You know, he's been the director of et cetera, et cetera, a prominent businessman in his community, et cetera. And so there is a school of thought that people like him, I guess, offer a little bit more when it comes to on the ground. However that turns out, we do not know. Let me say that the party has not officially named all of these people. And as it stands right now, this can all just be speculation. But I trust the wind. And usually when the wind whispers in my ear, typically, we are going in the right direction. All right. There's one other thing I want to address before I open the phone lines. The phone lines are 323-622-3253-4316-325-425. What is going on in Golden Gates, outside of what is going on in Pinewood Gardens, and outside of what is going on in Marathon, right, with the Progressive Liberal Party, we also know that there are some things on in the wombs of the Free National Movement. We see that Dr. Dwayne Sands, most notably amongst the unnamed candidates, has still been unnamed. Now, let me say this, and this isn't Guardian, this is Levin Miller speaking now, right? You have got to be a flat-out liar if you are going to circulate a voice note that suggests that Dr. Dwayne Sands had to be constrained by people because he wasn't nominated. I don't know, you know, they try to tell us that we ought to not use language that is very strong, but I can't think about language that would be more appropriate. I mean, let us consider some of the things that are to be considered, right? First of all, Dr. Dwayne Sands is a man that is about 6'2". I'm guessing 6'3". He's about 270 pounds. And outside of the fact that he has little hands, there is nothing little about this guy. So, are you suggesting to me that in an era with all of these cell phones going around, in an era with all of this camera footage everywhere and people being able to pass by an open space like the F&M headquarters, you're suggesting to me that a 6'2", maybe 6'3", 270-pound man who's light-skinned got into a fisticuff and there's not a single video of that floating around anywhere? Just doesn't seem practical now, does it? Are you also suggesting to me, right? And if you've ever met the guy, you would know that I don't know if the fella has what it takes to get hot under the collar. Although I know he could be annoyed, he seems to be more methodical than he is hot collared, right? So you're suggesting to me that the 6'2", 6'3", light skin, 270 pounder got into a shoving match. The question would be with who? And no one has any sort of need to go and see a medical practitioner? No one was hurt. The man is literally a moving wall if he was to become angry. And you're trying to tell me that that man and his band of men would make forceful entry or shove their way into a place and there would be no one hurt, no one needing medical attending to, nor does anybody have that on footage of any kind. No one even has audio footage of it. I want to call you a liar, sir. And I want to tell you publicly that whoever the voice of that person is on that voice note, God, you people are terrible, right? I mean, politics just cannot do that to you. It is highly improbable. Impossible? No. Highly improbable, though, that that story could be true. And it is despicable. And I don't even know why are we taking our politics to this. I'll tell you what else is pretty much disheartening. If you look at the FNM's website, you will see that there is actually a thumbnail on there, or whatever they call the things on these websites, that talks about the PLP and their involvement with NIGARD. Is that really where we want to take politics in the Bahamas? I don't know. I mean, are we going to discuss things like the possible tax hike? Are we going to discuss things like the possible downsizing in the public service? Because I see they're talking in the newspaper this morning about public service jobs being safe. But I am telling you, public servants, if you can hear me out there, listen to me and listen to me clearly. If you do not intend to go to pension and you are gratuitable, this year may be the year that you want to consider doing that. If you are pensionable and do not want to have things like all of your vacation benefits or all of whatever benefits you assume that you are entitled to vacuumed up like the people that had it done to them before when they were made to take all of their vacation time, you might want to get out now while there's still time to jump off the ship. That's all I'm saying. But these aren't the things that we're discussing in our politics. We are discussing who spent the money of a multi-billionaire that is now before the courts. And my question is, who gives a flying frisbee? No one cares. Can we talk about some things that is actually going to make this carbon wealth a place where the wealth is carbon and that we as citizens don't have to live as slaves in paradise? Is it possible for our political director? Is it just any at all possible? Or are we going to continue to go along with conjecture and frivolity and just spew nonsense? I mean, vomit almost in our quest towards election day. Is that what it's going to be? Are we going to talk about things like fixed election dates? Because it is completely asinine, right? It's the height of asininity for the one man that has the power to call the date to say something as stupid as, I don't know when the date is. It is scatterbrain is what it is. Disheartening. It is, I cannot find IRCA-approved adjectives to explain to you how vomit-worthy some of this stuff is. Last thing I'm gonna get off my chest while I at it. Could somebody, anybody, I don't know, the janitress from the Parliamentary Registration Department, please come on this show so that we could explain to people what is the process of being registered. What do you mean, Levin? Well, let me tell you. So I've had the occasion to accompany someone that wants to register to vote. We went to the town center mall to register to vote. We were instructed at the town center mall that because the person had moved from where they recently voted and they want to now vote in another constituency, get this, that they would need to bring a physical bill in their name. Well, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Let me tell you why. We live in a country where children do not leave the house of their parents, even when them children are 40 years old. So there are people that live in houses that they either inherited or still live in with their parents, and so none of the bills are in their name. What do they do then? What, and if they need the bill, then what the hell is the purpose of swearing and affirming that my information is correct? So anyway, we go to the town center mall. Some lady who doesn't look very involved in being involved tells us that we need a bill. I think it's stupid. I said, I don't think this is the law. We left. All right. And I'm going to have to check the law. So I don't know that to be the law. Anyway. So we get to the actual parliamentary registration building. Would you believe that they didn't ask us for the bill there, right? Oh, and you cannot use an electronic bill either. So you cannot go on your BEC or BPL, BTC electronic billing list and show them your address. That won't work. They need an actual physical paper copy of the bill that was sent to you in the mailbox that probably is still lost somewhere on East Hill Street when we break down the post office and leave the people mail outside. This is what you need. And it is ridiculous. It is 2020. Jesus is almost on his way back. And this is seriously what we have to contend with. Just to exercise our rights as citizens. Isn't it absolutely terrible? Yet y'all want to ask me about who spent Peter Nygaard money like I care. Okay. 323-622-3225-4316-3254-259. You can call me on those numbers, or you can text me on 422-4796, or y'all could just continue to let me blow this stuff off of my chest. Y'all choose. Either way, I want to talk to you this morning. You can join me here again, 323-622-3225-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. We've got a call on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
How are you?
I'm awesome. I don't know why you're pretending like you don't know who that voice is behind that voice. But he calls Guardian Radio 24 times a day.
Well, you know, out of the abundance of caution, right? Because I don't want them to say, oh, they mechanically altered the video tape and it wasn't really me. So since I have no facts to suggest that it, or no factual documentation that it is that person, I, out of the abundance of caution, I will not call their name. I suspect I know who it is, though.
I think we both do. But in regards to these those small constituency fires that are going around in the PLP party, mm-hmm. You know, there's one in South Angeles as well, for some reason. I don't know why.
How is that possible?
I don't know. But what's also interesting is when in Golden House, I'm sure you might have saw the video that they released yesterday from within a branch meeting.
I did see that video.
And then there was one in St. Barnabas as well. So I don't know what's going on, but they need to get it straight before election.
Well, my question is, what did the leadership of the PLP assume would happen, right? If you ever play porking, caller?
Yep. In fact, I'm a part of the Bahamas Porking League. But
okay, so when you play porking, right? Sometimes you end up on a team that ain't the team all your friends on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is your job to park the fellas on the next team, right? But sometimes you end up having to park one of your friends. And although you're all to his friends, he don't let that go. You understand? He don't let that go.
I concur.
So what you imagine would happen if you send even friends to go and fight one another? When the dust settles and the smoke clears, what do you imagine the outcome of that would be?
Civil war.
It is stupid. Why are we doing this?
I don't know, but they got to get it under wraps before election. What they say, a country divided or organization divided is basically divided.
I definitely can't understand why Soka fighting for no seat. That don't make sense to me. Soka win. Christie ain't win. You realize that?
Yep.
Soka then hold on to this seat in the... As a matter of fact, as much as I like Mike Alkidis, the one thing Mike Alkidis has not been able to prove is that he could win when the party loses. Right? Soka hold on in the wind, in the storm, and in the rain. And you're trying to tell me this the man we got fighting for a nomination? Well, if that's the case, I imagine Mr. Davis should be fighting for his nomination too. Because this man has proven that he could withstand the worst defeat in PLP history.
Well, I think we're about to witness cannibalism within that party. Mm. They got to get it on the raft at some point, but if they don't, they'll eat each other.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. I have a text right here that says, Levin, just about a month ago, you mentioned that you felt that there would be an early election. To the contrary, I do not believe that there will be, based on several things. The FNM needs time to pull itself together as a party. Minnis seems to be currently working on staying out of sight in hopes that the Bahamas feelings towards him will subside, in hopes that it will help him to be reelected. The voter registration needs to be set in order. Additionally, reasons why I highly doubt there will be an early election is that Minnis seems to enjoy dictating and the freedom that these emergency powers allow him. I doubt that he will be in any rush to give that up unless he has no options left. I can guarantee you this much. The next general election will most likely be in 2022. And yes, it will meet us with Minnis still with his emergency orders intact. I do not agree with that text writer, but I do hear you. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Levin?
Hey, Anton.
Everything's good?
Well, most things are.
All right, then, and good morning to the nation. There's no chaos and no rudderless ship as what is happening with the government.
I expect you to say that, Anton. You realize
No. Let me just point you to this fact, Levin. As far as His Excellency Soka Paisel Vorbs is concerned,
mm-hmm.
The leader of the Progressive Liberal Party is on record. The Honorable Philip Rave Davis, the leader of the opposition, is on record. And Guardian has played his record several times, where he stated clearly and emphatically that all incumbents, they have the right of refusal. All incumbents. And the only way that changes is if the individual determines they wish to exercise their right to refuse, or the people determine they no longer wish to have the individual serve them any longer as a member of parliament. That's the only two ways. And none of those such matters has arose where any of our four incumbents are concerned. Also, if you take a look at the listing of the candidates that has been nominated and ratified already, none of that list would include any of the incumbents of the Progressive Liberal Party, who are Glenys Hannah Martin, Honorable Soka Paisel Vorbs, His Excellency, Deputy Leader and next Deputy Prime Minister in our country, Chester Cooper, Honorable, and next Prime Minister in our country, the Honorable Philip Rave Davis. None of them have been placed on the listing of candidates that has been ratified.
What does it have to do with the infighting that the wind tell me is happening everywhere else, though?
That brings me to my next point. I'm happy you brought that about, Levon. Here's the thing we need to be concerned with. We have a prime minister who said the debt tent is big, who said the debt tent is huge, who said that they encourage persons with different points of views within their organization because they believe in democracy. But we see where certain persons are not being named. Certain people who have shady characters, legally speaking, on the record, have been named. People who have been condemned have been named, right? And we see where nominations and ratifications are being withheld from other individuals, right? However, in the Progressive Liberal Party, we truly encourage, when we say something, we mean it and we stick by it. We encourage democracy, and the democratic process is all that is being played out within the Progressive Liberal Party. But at the end of the day, I assure you this, mm-hmm. I assure you this one thing, Levon,
mm-hmm.
we will come together as a party, as a people, and as a country, and we will defeat this Goliath.
Okay, Anton, I want to run this by you. I'm about to play the clip of Mr. Davis, right? So, because I want to get people's response on it. So you should tell the PLP that they should send me a check for this, right? Because I don't really want to advertise for them for free. But I heard this video yesterday, and I'm gonna play it shortly. So you should invite the whole leadership of the PLP to listen, so that they could hear that I played it on radio, and then they could like call Janet Lees and hook me up with one of them sponsors. Let's take this next call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent show, man.
Thank you.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
you know, I hear yourself and, you know, some other callers you know, making talks with respect to the infight in the PLP.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, you know, that I would not want to be a part of nothing
mm-hmm.
that people is not fighting to be a part of.
I don't disagree.
If people are not fighting to be a part of something,
mm-hmm.
then obviously there's something wrong with that thing.
I don't disagree.
And right now there is tons of aspiring candidates who is fighting for position in the PLP because, you know, there are fights also in the FNM, you know. So, you know, it should speak to a level of what people are wanting to be a part of.
Sure.
You know, but however, the difference between the fight in the PLP and the FNM is what I want you to take a look at. What does a governing party do for a nation when they become in power? I mean, what is their record like? What can they show that they have done for a nation? What can they show that they have done to advance a nation, to take a nation to higher heights and deeper depths in their path? So, you know, that's what I want you to look at. What the PLP's track record is when they become government in this country, do they empower the people? Do they put in national landmarks and stuff? Do they put in things that the people need to advance themselves forward in life? Do they give you opportunities to become a better citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? That is what I want people to look at today.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree that I don't want to be a part of anything that no one is fighting for. I don't disagree that the PLP is the party of institutionalization. I always say that. The Progressive Liberal Party, or definitely Sir Lyndon Pentland, was about institutionalization. Mr. Ingram was about infrastructuralization. And I don't remember what I say Christie was for. But anyway, so yes, you could look around. NIB, Defense Force, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fine. The point I'm making to you, though, is I think sloppiness or messiness gets everywhere if you don't contain it early enough, right? Like, you could save the ship if you seal the bilge bay early enough. It is when you allow the water to run rampant throughout the ship that you risk losing the entire ship. And while there may be sailors in the bilge bay, at some point, the exo of this ship has got to make the decision that we're sealing the hatch, full stop. And sailors may die, but they signed up to die. So what are we going to do? Risk losing the entire ship and all of its company? Or are we going to seal the bilge, contain this water from the flooding while we try to make it back to shore with the ship? And let us not pretend. The Progressive Liberal Party ran hard aground in the last election. All right? So while she's making her way back to harbor, I imagine she's still taking on some water. And that water doesn't need to get throughout the entire ship. At some point, the executive officer of this ship has got to make the call that, listen, this infighting will stop, and this is who we are going with in that constituency. This was the short list. This person is the better candidate. This is the direction we are going to go in. And there will be people that will be upset about that, but I imagine that the earlier you piss them off, the more time you'll have to sweep them up. But this whole letting it drag out for so long is, I don't know. I don't know if I like it. 323-623-2323-254-316-325-4259. I want to play this clip from Mr. Davis, right? Because I'll tell you, while it was magically done, the production is flawless, all right? I just don't know. I don't know if any of these things matter. I don't know if when I think about the next prime minister, any of these things are things I care about. I don't care where my prime minister came from or what he grew up like. What I do care about is vision. And so I want to let you hear it so that you can tell me what it is you hear when you hear the utterances of Mr. Davis. Let's go to the clip.
There is a lot of pain in the Bahamas right now. Too many people are feeling forgotten and feeling ignored. Even before Dorian, before COVID, families were struggling just to keep the lights on or to provide opportunities for their children. I know what that feels like. My grandparents were subsistence farmers on Cat Island who could not read or write. They taught me the power of faith and love. My mother was a maid, my father, a gardener, then a fireman, and later a taxi driver. They taught me to believe in myself and to believe in my country. I worked my way through school as a packing boy and on construction sites. I know what it's like to be underestimated because of the color of your skin or the place you come from. When I was knocking on doors, trying to find someone to teach me the law, I needed somebody to believe in me. We all need that. That's why I've always tried to help as many people as I can. As a lawyer, I've always made time to represent people who couldn't afford to pay me, because the value of our lives should be measured by the impact we have on others. I understand why many Bahamians are cynical about politics. It feels like our biggest problems never get solved. But politics shouldn't be about pretty words or campaigns that happen once every 5 years. For me, it's about showing up for people and fighting for change every day in between. When I see a child in the road who doesn't always have enough to eat or a safe place to play, I know what he's thinking. I know what his parents are dreaming about for him. And I know the barriers that stand in his way. Let's knock down those barriers. It's time to take power away from the usual insiders and give it to that child and his family. I've walked in his shoes, and I don't underestimate who he could be if we give him a chance. I've spent my life taking on hard fights, standing up for what I believe is right. This current crisis is an opportunity to reset our national priorities. And the PLP is ready with new energy and new ideas. We're on your side, ready to lift people up so tomorrow can be a new day in the Bahamas. Join us. Let's change this country together.
Do you feel inspired? I mean, the music was great, right? But I don't know. I don't know if it... I don't know if it addresses where I am as a citizen. I don't know if it addresses the crises that we now face. I don't know if it tells me of what the new idea, the PLP, of the PLP is and or will be. What is the methodology? What is the inspiring hope that the PLP will engender? At least Christie had the bridge to the future, which then gave you this concept that, you know, it was about future planning and for planning. And I will admit, Christie has Bamzi. Oh, yes. Christie is the prime minister of transformational policies in the Bahamas. So that is his, that is what his legacy will be. So there will be NHI. There will be, which again was a furthering to what I imagine NIB was intended to be. Bamzi, the University of the Bahamas, all of those things will be transformative in or transitional toward the new Bahamas, right? I don't know. I don't know what grandparents growing up in Get Island, and I don't really know what not being able to afford law school, and I'm not really sure if that, I don't know if that message reaches me where I am today. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't know what the child that he's talking about in this ad feels. I don't know, but as somebody whose parents also couldn't afford to send him to college, I still don't know if the message reaches me in my gut. So you can tell me what you think. 323-623-2352-5431-6325-4259. Like that just didn't make me feel like, my God, I want to be a BLB. I just didn't get that, right? Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Hey, caller.
And I'm glad you didn't, I'm going to tell you last time, don't run. But you get burned, now you know what it's like to be burned. People take your money and don't steal or vote for you. That's how it's going around here. They eat up all your food, drink all your liquor, but in our boat, they talk a different story. We had a rich white man in Philip Pinbinder. He was the richest MP. Time to finish, but he was a broke man, and he's telling what for him. Now, let's get back to the man at hand. Do you think Manik Pillen is being a loyal PLP? Under her daddy's leadership, she would get you on the party. What she does, she wanted to press for PLP business. Mm-hmm. That ain't what loyal PLP does.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the party need a strong chairman to like Papa, like Doug Maynard, she would never stand a chance in the PLP under their chairmanship. Remember, the Pillen didn't talk. He didn't run the party. The chairman ran the party.
Mm-hmm.
Pillen had a papa top down seven MP for being some bad MP or disloyal PLPs. In one night, Papa cut down seven MPs.
Mm-hmm.
That's how strong Papa was as chairman. That's why Whitman is Pillen doing now. She could come into the press to force in the PLP. This would be behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
As a loyal PLP. Dad said that in the headquarters, there's a big fight. But when the doors open, there's one party under his chairmanship.
Mm-hmm.
But what Monique Pillen doing, she letting the public and get her in there. Where she been when her daddy was the leader of the party?
She would have been a child.
This. See, if you win as a PLP, you'd be a bad budget. You'd be a bad venture. I'll give you no power, no chairmanship. Why do you want to serve the party in any which way possible? I see Leslie. You have served MPs for 3-4 years now, right? Tell Brave, I'll be chairman of this. I'll be the ambassador of the United States. Just let me serve the party any which way you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to force the party to make them this, make them that?
Well, because the party also tries to invoke the ghost of Lyndon Pinlan every chance they get. So I imagine, right? I'm not saying that this is what she's doing. I imagine that if my name is something that you dangle for people to inspire them, then I would imagine that comes with some perks. No, would that be unreasonable? Also, I don't think Monique Pinlan would be a bad candidate. I don't know if it would be fair to remove Picewell Soga Forbes. I am just saying, but I also believe that she may be able to serve the party in another constituency or in another capacity. But am I saying that she ought to just not be considered? I don't think that is fair either, Rob. But let's take another call. Come on, call her on. Call her. Call her, hello. Not there. Let me get this text messages out of the way. Mr. Miller, do you think since Blacks took over, we have regressed? I don't know. Let me think about that a little bit more. Is Black leadership turning out to be everything I think we imagined? The answer to that is no. Good morning, Levin. I would like to know the procedure for visiting the island, the family island from New Providence. Would I be able to visit two family islands on one COVID-19 test, or just need to visit for the weekend? Well, the COVID-19 test should be good for 5 days, so I guess if you're doing it within 5 days, I don't see the difficulty there. Christy had an NHI. Okay, I said that. Mr. Miller, tell Antoine stop deflecting. Ms. Pinling has made it clear that she was denied the democratic process in South Andres. The young gun was selected by the constituency branch, but they went with Michael Halkidis. And now there is a petition in Golden Isles to nominate Joe Johnson instead of Vaughn Miller. These are the facts. All right. Well, see, these are the facts. I don't know. The wind hasn't spoken to me yet about Golden Isles, but I will stand outside after the show and see what the wind blows into my ear. 323-622-325-4316-325-425. And let me also put this out there. This is completely unrelated. Let me say a happy post-Valentine's Day to everybody that's out there. You know the one thing that really gets me every time is the people that get engaged every Valentine's Day. Like, literally, I walk through social media. And don't blame me. Social media allows me to see your lives, right? You know, some of y'all got more rings than Tom Brady, you know. Y'all really could retire now. Like, I don't think marriage is going to happen for you. Let's just don't get engaged another Valentine's Day. How does that sound, right? Because I don't know what y'all going for. Must be Bill Russell's record? I'm not sure. It's crazy. But congratulations to all the people that have been engaged during this Valentine's Day holiday. It's so wonderful that you all find love. It's amazing. I love it for you all. So, get yourself one of those little hand mannequins. Oh, my goodness. Get yourself one of those little hand mannequins so you could at least put your rings on it, right? And you could kind of build a little glass box for it so that we know where all the rings are. And you can kind of keep it as a showcase piece, right? So that when you're an old person, you could kind of show your grandchildren how talented you are and how many opportunities you've had to go to the bowl and come back with a ring. Anyway, that is completely unrelated. I just wanted to say that. This campaign makes me want to vomit just as much as the PM's commercial. Good morning, Mr. Miller. This is why we need all candidates to debate each other, especially the leaders of the parties. Bahamians need to demand debates. We aren't Brave Davis trying to represent himself as new and fresh while being the longest serving member in the House of Assembly. He's analog trying to represent digital foolishness. We aren't riding no wave to no grave. The Bahamas would be a graveyard under a Brave Davis government. The PLP is best in opposition and worse in government. They need 5 more years in that rule. We are not riding no wave to the grave with Brave. Okay, there you have it. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, Mr. Miller, it's me again. I called earlier.
Hey.
Mr. Davis' speech reminds me of the epilogue at the end of Funeral. You know, I echo the content of your texts when it comes to riding the wave to the grave. That speech sounded like an epilogue, like he's about
the music in the background was really good.
Yeah.
It's like, it made me feel, you know, like I was riding on a horse.
You walk into a funeral home, they playing that music in the background, you're going to go see a loved one. That's exactly what that music sounds like. Exactly like that.
All right, caller. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
323-623-322-325-4316. 325-4259. And the reason why these things are important is because that is how you get people to be a part of the process, right? You have to inspire them to do that. I just want to know if you feel inspired by the recording. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Call you there. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, morning, Levon. I'm calling about.
Morning, Levon. They also come with good words, but in their heart, they are all the same. What does Monique Pindlin bring to the table besides her dad being former prime minister? Well, I imagine that in itself is something to bring to the table. You've had an opportunity to live in very close proximity to a prime minister. You've had an opportunity to see the things that challenge him, see the things that caused him pause. You had an opportunity to think about some of the issues that you would have witnessed him face. People like, why do I not remember the name of the president of the United States of America? Joe Biden. People like Joe Biden, president, of course, have just said the other day that he hadn't realized that after 40 years of public life, how involved his grandchildren were in public life. Like, they actually find themselves around the coffee table discussing foreign policy sometimes and what's going on in the news. And so they've had an opportunity to see him and witness the things that he stood for and fought for, et cetera, et cetera. And as a result, they are very inclined to U.S. politics, right? So that in itself, sometimes just being close enough, you know, I can't use that analogy because that's a street analogy. But if you stand close enough to it, eventually you'll be stung too, you know, that kind of way. And so that in itself is a benefit. Outside of that, I mean, she's a woman that's educated. She's obviously somebody that's contributed. She's a family woman, et cetera, et cetera. And so, I mean, you know, if you ask that question about her, you could ask it about anybody. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. Am I on, sir?
You're live.
Thank you. All right, glad. Good to be alive. Listen, the great Mr. Brave Davis, and also the current leader, I think Bahamians have had enough of both parties, particularly when it's just a recycling of ignorance. If Mr. Brave wants to be brave, tell him to release his candidates to the public to ask questions publicly so we can indict them, because they ain't got no plan and he ain't got no plan. Mm-hmm. All he wants to do is take us further. In fact, I just remember listening to that commercial that I have to visit cemetery and paint my mommy's grave. And I thank you for reminding me of that. Mm-hmm. And have a good show tomorrow, sir. I'll be listening.
Thank you very much. Someone here says, you are dead wrong in your analysis. The Bahamian people vote you out and not in. At this point, the PLP can run a pot cake dog in each constituency and win. It's all about the vote them out wave. Well, then that's kind of really dangerous as well. I don't know if I want to see more of that. That's how we end up with these landslide victories that don't benefit the Bahamian people. Good day. I'm not inspired by any political party. I don't feel like voting. Text writer, I am almost with you on that. I don't feel I don't feel inspired at this point. And I like politics, man. I just watch it all the time. I love it. It's my thing. But I don't know. No one lighting the fire up under my tail just yet. Even the people who got the torch. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Hello?
You hear me, LeVon?
Hey, Anton. What's going on? Anton.
Yeah.
Did you hear my thing that I said before? You heard me play the whole clip from Mr. Davis, right? You should call the executive leadership of the BLB and have them send me a check.
I'll put a plug in, okay?
Mm-hmm. How can I help you?
But on the video, though, if I could comment on that, mm-hmm. just a few seconds.
Sure, hello? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
We only got 2 minutes left.
What I heard on the video, LeVon, was someone who can identify with Reverend Heeman's off right now in this country. After Dorian, after COVID, mm-hmm. after failed policies, after mm-hmm. failed legislation, after dictatorship of the incompetent authority, I hear someone who identifies with the people where they are right now, mm-hmm. who knows what it takes to get them to the next level.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. How's it going?
I feel good.
Great, great, exciting show as usual, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I listened to the little clip you played with Brave Davis talking about how far he came from and mm-hmm. whatnot. You know, but if what Adrian Gibson say about Brave Davis and the state of affairs in Cat Island, with him over all those years not even running a single inch of pipe. Now, I don't know if that was just to be a joke or if there's sparks to it. I know I visited Cat Island several times,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember, and this was about 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember having, as a matter of fact, the little fella had to go on the three-wheel bicycle and bring back water.
Mm-hmm.
But that will stand as a witness against this love and thing Brave Davis that he has for the people of Cat Island, because those are basic needs, you know. So that will stand in the judgment against him, you know.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I travel to Cat Island all the time. I've been there every year since 2007, with the exception of 20. Now, do I believe they need to run running water throughout the whole land and bread of Cat Island? If you want my honest answer, the answer to that is no. If you look at the way Cat Island is laid out, I think they have a pretty decent system.
Remember now, this is the 21st century, so
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't even have to do that now, because they can have different ports.
Our
plants to service different areas.
Sure, sure. You know? But again, when you think about the fact, and I don't know how often you go there, but when you think about areas like Dean's Highway or Dean's stretches, I think it's like 14 miles of nothingness. Are we going to run 14 miles of pipe?
That wouldn't be necessary. You couldn't do that, especially drain pipe.
Right.
But here's my thing too. I don't know how it was the population of Cat Island, but here's my thing. I find it hard to believe that Brave Davis is ready to do so much more for 400,000 people when over all those years he couldn't do more than he did for just what? Several thousand people in Cat Island? Was it 10,000, 15,000?
I completely appreciate that caller. We flat out of time. I got to get to the news. Thank you so much for calling me, though. You know, I'm with you all on it. I don't know how he's going to explain that. We are completely out of time. Join me again tomorrow. We have another exciting show planned for you. Anyway, it's been Leaving Miller. I've been Unleashed on your radio. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. News is next.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.